Hello, welcome to Betch Slaps. I'm Samantha.
And I'm Jordana. And actually, for a change, huge ass news week.
Yeah, we have lots to talk about.
Right.
Okay, so the shooting in Vegas.
Let's start off with that.
Yeah, kind of hard to be funny about that. But then again, Jordana and I have been debating gun control since, like, NAMM.
Right. Okay, to be clear, I'm
Jordana
not...
Jordana used to love guns. I think she's changed her mind, though.
It's not that I've loved guns. I don't think, like, everyone should have a gun. I don't have a gun. I don't know anyone who has a gun. I am kind of a believer, though, that if people want something, they're going to find a way to get it. So even if it's, like, harder to get a gun, I don't feel like that will, like, necessarily deter things. What I feel like is, like, the bigger issue, honestly, I mean, I think gun control is important. I don't think anyone who is, like, suspected of being a terrorist should be a gun. I don't think any violent criminals should be allowed to have a gun. I think everyone should have a background check. I think it's important to, and I don't think really anyone needs a, like, semi-automatic weapon.
Right.
Or anything like that. But, like, if you want to have a handgun and you're, like, totally normal and you, like, are from an area where people have those, like,
right.
I think that's fine. I don't think, like, there should be no guns anywhere ever. Like, I think there's people have weapons, like, to each their own. I think that they should be, like, it should be harder to get one. I agree. But I'm not, like, anti-gun for anyone ever in all cases.
Yeah, I agree with you, actually. I, even though I am, I guess, I pretty much agree with everything you said. I was just joking before about how you love guns. Because, like, you used to,
used to have, I think, a less nuanced vision of guns. I used to have a less nuanced vision of guns, and my opinion has changed, like, a little bit more as I've learned more about, like, gun policies and things like that. I think it's important to note that this guy from the Vegas shooting had no history. All he had was, like, a parking ticket or something, or something, some very minor infraction. He probably, if he wanted to get a gun,
he definitely could have
gotten a gun.
Well, he did.
I'm sure they were his, and he had, I don't know. I think the bigger issue is most likely mental illness. And it's so, for me, it's, like, a little frustrating because I feel like in all these attacks that are not terrorist attacks, because those are, and this wasn't, I mean, that's also another thing that's debated, is that everyone's saying, oh, it was a terrorist attack. They're not calling it a terrorist attack. This wasn't a terrorist attack.
Yeah, no. Although ISIS did claim responsibility, so maybe.
Right, but, like, they're, like, looking into whether that's actually true or not. But, like, okay, assuming that he is a,
like, real estate developer, high stakes gambler who's 65 years old, retired accountant, why would he, like, care about ISIS?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I don't know. I don't think that we have enough information to find out if it actually was a terrorist attack. But if he was a lone gunman who had a mental illness, or maybe didn't, I don't know. I think that's, like, that's the big mystery, is, like, what really motivated, or what motivated this guy. It's, like, actually kind of interesting to do this. But I don't know. I think mental illness is, like, the bigger issue, and I think that this, what everyone's kind of upset that this, they're saying this wasn't a terrorist attack, but if he was a lone gunman who just, like, had a weird anger problem or, like, a mental illness, then, like, it wasn't a terrorist attack. A terrorist attack is, like, politically motivated in an attempt to, like, get people to do something or to punish people for, like, some sort of political infraction.
Right. Political or religious. I agree. This is not a terrorist attack. Agreed, because
assuming that he's not tied to ISIS,
which
we haven't fully discovered yet.
But I do think, okay, I think, again, this gets to, like, the whole, like, gun control debate and to, like, the mental health debate. Like, it seems like because everyone is so, like, we have to, like, or at least the NRA, like, the Second Amendment people are so strong and they have such an organized lobby and they really are very good at essentially defeating gun laws or, like, any attempt at gun legislation, then really nothing ever gets accomplished. But like, again, like, in this situation and in so many situations, even if there was gun control or certain controls in place, that wouldn't have necessarily helped or prevented a lot of these things. So the gun control, the anti-gun law people have actually a point when they say that, like, this would not have actually stopped it. Because in a lot of these situations, it wouldn't have stopped it.
Right.
However, I do think that, like, I was listening to Pod Save America earlier.
Okay.
Because I'm very woke. And, yeah, they were saying, something that they pointed out was that, like, actually, like, there's all these mass killings, but what isn't spoken about is the number of gun suicides in America, which, like, far outnumbers the mass killings. And
I think, I mean, right.
And that is obviously a result of lack of gun control and of the mental health problem.
But those people who killed themselves with guns would have just killed themselves with something else.
Maybe not. Maybe I not. I don't necessarily think so, because I think a gun is a very, like, quick and painless way to die.
So are a lot of pill overdoses. I think there's a lot of premeditated ways that if you want to kill yourself, you don't, it's not like most, I think and I've done suicide research, I've seen like those things, most people are thinking about it for a long ass time. It's not like, oh, there's a gun, let me just kill myself immediately.
Right, but it is easier, and also the fact of having access to it makes it easier to like think about and consider doing, and like knowing that you could do it. And it's also, I think it is faster. A pill overdose might not work. Remember in Wizard of Lies when the Madoffs took it and it didn't work? Like, it doesn't always work. Sometimes you just get sick and end up in the hospital. Sometimes slitting your wrist doesn't work. Like, a gun is pretty much guaranteed to kill you if you want to die. Like, you know what I mean? It's much easier and quicker than anything else. Even jumping in off a bridge. Like, you have to, like, get yourself off the bridge. It's harder.
You gotta drive there.
You have to drive there. Exactly. If you have a gun in your
sorry, this is funny.
No, it's true. But it's true. It's harder. There's more of a barrier. When something is harder to do, you're less likely to do it. That's why people, like, put their junk food in the back of their fridge. Supposed in the front.
Okay,
of their
that's
fridge,
fair.
You know, like, but yeah, again, not that this seems to be on mental health.
I think the main takeaway is that the gun problems and the mental health problems have a large overlap, and the issue is just way more nuanced than like get rid of all guns or like make right.
Anyone's saying get rid of all guns. I think they're pretty much advocating for like not being able to get a semi-automatic weapon and not being able and having a background check, which like you agree are like pretty sensible.
No,
things.
I do, and I think that this debate comes up every time there's this like national tragedy shooting thing, and it's like this isn't like something that happens all the time. It happens because some people are mentally ill.
Right.
It's not like a thing that.
But
anyone decides to do.
But, like, okay, you could have a mentally ill person, and again, now we're on to the mental illness. What just, like, distinguishes between a mentally ill person who does something and who doesn't do something? So you could have a person who's mentally ill who, like, decides to kill himself. You could have a person who's mentally ill who, like, doesn't do that. Or who decides to kill someone else or a mentally ill person who doesn't. So I think that, like, having all these mass shootings, like, they give each other ideas. They're like, I could just, like, go out. Like, I have this urge to, like, kill someone. I could just, like, go out in this blaze of glory. Like, I don't have to die just myself. Like, I could go and, like...
Right, that's what I'm saying. They're definitely, like, interwoven. There's definitely, they tie into each other. And, like, you can't almost have one without, like... I think we need, like, stronger regulation of both. Like... More ways.
Not even regulation of mental illness, but like I think that just our society is built in a way that like where mental illness is not talked about and people who have mental illness are not necessarily given help or it's stigmatized. So like but you
well,
know
a lot of them,
but getting a gun is not stigmatized. And even in like, you know, some of these like if anything, a psychopath wants like the glory of like getting their name talked about in the news and like knowing that when they died, they like left a mark, even if it's bad. Like they're crazy, you know?
Yeah.
Like I think what just like makes like someone truly crazy and like I don't know. It's so hard to like know in a way that like you could actually like stop the person from getting a gun. What's that movie where like with the precogs and they know when there's going to be like a crime committed? Minority Report. Alien's like obsessed with this one. Okay, well basically the premise of it is that like they're able to like stop crime because
they know when it's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, but then so like the system gets flawed. I think I sort of remember that.
Right, so that's like the only way you could really do anything about that like in society. Like you can't predict these things. Like you have mentally ill people who decide to act on things and those who don't. But there's no way to like stop every person with a small inclination or a large inclination towards mental illness from getting a gun and doing something with it.
Right. Yeah, I mean obviously like there's a lot more stuff to be done in terms of that. Everyone's like the United States is the only country, blah 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 blah. I don't know if like that all that like stuff again takes into consideration like
other stuff,
other things that are different in the United States. Like the only thing that's different is America doesn't have gun control laws. Like I don't think that's like really an accurate depiction of the thing. I think again,
I agree.
The main takeaway
is so many more things. America is also the we spend the most on the military. We like are the most, like, wealthy country.
Right, and we have, like, the venues big enough for, like, this to even, like, this many people to even really be, like...
that in France, isn't that, like...
I know, but, like, they didn't have, like, this tall, like, bit, like, this huge tower
that... Right, but it's also, like, the psyche of, like, the American, like, an American.
Right.
Which is, like, I'm just the greatest, I'm individualistic strong.
Kind of thing.
Right, I am a strong macho man with guns. Like, guns have been glorified in America, like... the whole time,
right?
You know what I mean.
And again, it's important to remember, even though
over the Indian,
even if we're talking about the American psyche, these are like 5 people of the population in the past, like, I don't know, yeah, 5 years. So it's not like it's like, oh, everyone like has this no, but mentality.
I'm not even talking about the 5 people who committed these mass murders, and it is more. I'm talking more about like the regular person who like feels a need to have a collection of guns and wants a lot of guns and likes shooting, like, as a hobby. Like I was, like, for Yom Kippur, I was with my cousins, and he's, like, my cousin's, like, longtime boyfriend is this, like, old guy, like, an old 80-year-old Jewish guy, and he goes to, like, a gun club. Like, he has a collection of guns, and, like, one of his hobbies is shooting guns. And, like, I can't, like, understand that, but I think that, like, most of America is, like, very into that. There's this, like, glorification of, like, these are my guns, you can't touch them, and, like, any sort of limitation that prevents them from walking into a store and getting a gun like it's an ice cream cone is, like, a huge infringement on their existence.
Right. I mean, everyone has, I think everything is sort of reactionary, so it's, like, why is that the American culture? Is it because it go back all the way to, like, the American Revolution, where, like, these British people would come and just, like, stay in their houses and, like, tell them what they could do, and they're, like, no, like, this is the American way, is that, like, no one tells us what to do. Like, we have freedom. We're, like, I don't think, like, the people who are into the NRA are necessarily, like, bad people. I think it's just, like, there's a certain thing, and it goes along with that old thing where it's, like, it's a certain way of life. Like, you can't tell us how to live. But you know what? That was the argument for slavery in the Civil War. Like, sometimes you just have to be told how to live because, like, it hurts a lot of people.
Right.
So, like, if what you're doing is, like, hurting a lot of people, sometimes it has to, like, someone has to step in and be, like, you can't just continue this way of life.
Right. Right. It seems like you've really come around on the gun issue since, like, 2009.
Yeah. I mean, I just think it's more nuanced. But, I'm not anti all guns. I don't think, like...
Right. No. What you are saying, what you just said about, like, the American Revolution and the people living in their houses and you can't tell us where to live and you can't tax us, I actually do think that, like, mentality lives... like, in Americans today. Like, I think it gets passed down. I really do. Like, it gets passed down both, like, genetically and, like, personally. Like, imagine if you had, like, soldiers living in your house from, like, the country you're trying to be freed from. That would, like, traumatize you. And then your kids would, like, be hearing about that. Like, think about the Holocaust. You know what I mean? Like, you're still hearing about it. Obviously, it's really bad. So, like, you know what I mean? So that, to them, is, like, that their equivalent. So it, like, lives on in their family and generation.
Right.
And
they're, like, terrified of being, like, in this state where people are taxing that. Taxing them without, like, telling them where it's going and overtaxing them and not letting them be free to, like, live the way they want. It definitely, like, has major roots.
Right. So much deeper into, like, who America is and, like, what, like, they're about. And, like, I just really feel like that's why people want these guns so badly and why the gun control fight is so difficult. And also, again, with the mental health issue, a huge part of it is, like, I'm right, you're wrong, you can't tell me I'm crazy, right. You can't tell me what to do, you can't tell, like, I'm not weak mentally, like, I'm strong mentally, you know? So it's this sort of just, like, what is valued and, like, what is placed, where are the premiums placed in America that cause us to, like, feel a certain way? And then, like, the extreme externalities that, like, result are that you get once in a while a crazy mass killer that you can't predict. But they're just, like, a result of this culture that, like, fosters an environment where people like that are, like, able to filter through and, like, get through, like, the gates.
Right.
Because, like, when you have this general way of being that most people can live just fine as, like, most people who love guns are fine. They're just, they love their guns.
99% of Americans probably who have guns use them correctly.
Right. But because we have this as, like, our existence and, like, the American, like, brain pretty much, like, our collective psychology, you get these crazy people and you can't do anything about it.
And I think it's important to note that, like, the people who are more interested in the guns and more pro the NRA and more pro this freedom are these, like, southern people. And it's not to say that those people are worse or bad than us, but are better or worse than us. But those people are more tied to the American Revolution. Those people are less, there's less immigrants mm-hmm. in those areas. They're people who have lived here forever, and they're people who, like, that American, that American way thing is much more ingrained in than, like, New York City, where there's, like, a million different immigrant people who are, like, though that American culture is not as ingrained in them, which is good in some ways and bad in some ways. But, like, I can see how having, like, lived here forever and not really knowing that many northern people, you'd be like, you want to take away, like, our guns? Like, who the fuck are you?
Yeah. You should watch Bill Maher this week. He was saying, like, he was saying how he actually made his point that, like, you're in the cities and you see, like, a lot of people from different cultures. But, like, if you drive through from L.A. to New York, like, you'll see pretty much everyone's white. So, like, everyone in the middle is very, like, I don't see any, like, Hispanic people. I don't see any black people. Like, who are all these people and why are they dominating my culture? Why are they dominating the media? If you, like, when you look at it, like, who's on all the TV shows? Like, it's very ethnic, very mixed. Like, the popular culture, like, the Kardashians are... They're Armenian. They're, you know what I mean? They're not white. Like, so you see that, like, the dominant thing in the culture is, like, multicultural. So they're like, why is this everywhere? But, like, no one around me is anything but white and, like, gone obsessed and, like, eating grits. Like,
which to the end goes back to the bigger debate, which is, like, the presidential debate. And I don't know how we got back into this of, like, the coastal elites versus, like, the quote unquote real Americans.
Right. But, like, what I don't get is, like, just to be, like, a little obnoxious for a second, like, why are the coastal elites not the real Americans? Like, where does the American... What makes America great, quote-unquote? It's the economy. It's the innovation. It's, like, what we produce. It's, like, what we stand for morally. Right.
Okay, some people have a hard time moving on because those people who were in the middle used to be what America was about, which was, like, farming and, like... factory workers and, like, Detroit and things like that. Things were made... More things were made in
Detroit
America because...
liberal.
Does it?
Yeah.
Yeah, but they,
not
like,
Michigan.
Are the ones... They're the ones with,
well,
like...
this time.
They're the ones with, like, all their jobs now being, like, given to, like, people in foreign countries. And, like, they don't know how to do, like, the tech shit that we need now.
Right. Well, I think that that's just a sad reality. But what I'm saying is, like, why is it that coastal elites are not real? Because if you have what America is, again, it's, like, the productivity.
It's
and that is what the coastal elites produce. And, like, what do we produce in terms of, like, cultural? It's our American culture is, like, entertainment. It's like sensationalist everything. That's what, like, American culture is. As much as, like, French culture might be, like, a museum and a baguette. You know what I mean? Our culture is, like, a Big Mac and, like, Justin Bieber, even though he's Canadian, and like... reality TV. That is what American culture is. Also Mad Men and The Sopranos. But, you know.
Right, well, I guess some people aren't happy that that's the new American culture.
Right.
So.
Deal with it. If you like what we
have. Well, it's kind of interesting because there's, like, like, the idea, like, the original American way, which is, like, to do your own thing and build your own wealth and, like, capitalist society, of, like, build, like, has led to this thing. But, like, the people who originally, like, started that are not, like, really, like, in it anymore, which is really, like, the issue.
Well, they kind of
because it is the American way is to, like, just, like, get as rich as you can and, like...
Right.
And, like... But, well, like, I don't think they anticipated, like, the, like, immigrants coming in and building these big corporations and, like, then overtaking them.
I don't think they imagined, like, all of these big corporations anyway. Like, okay, seeing Hamilton a few months ago, it reminded me, like, a lot of, like, the stuff you learned in high school about, like, the North versus the South and, like, all that stuff. And, like, half of our, like, founding fathers, like, really important ones, Jefferson, Monroe, Madison, I think... were, like, all Southerners, and they were, like, a really big part of things. Like, the Northerners were, like, Hamilton and, I think, like, John Adams. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's, like, up in the beer factory.
What do you mean they're part of things?
They're, like, our country wasn't just founded on, like, the, like, New York values. You know what I mean? It was also founded on those Southern values.
No, I think it was mostly founded on those Southern values, was it not?
It was really both. Like, it really was, like, a mix of both, but the fights that they had... are, like, not that different from the fights they were having now. Like, the way that the entire credit system of the United States was set up was essentially an exchange for moving the capital to the South. Because, like, they didn't want to commute.
I can see that. In opposition.
Yeah, you had to really, like, commute really far, like, to go to meetings and stuff. Imagine if you had to fucking take a 6-month horse and buggy to every time we had a board meeting.
Yeah, that would not fly. We also wouldn't have jobs in that era. Right, we'd be right. like we'd tending be the children. We would have like right. 5 kids each right now, probably. Oh my God. Like a few of them would have died.
They'd really
Sorry.
Be screwed
up. Yeah. It's a tough life, that colonial shit.
Yeah, so yeah, it seems like this is an issue much bigger than us. But yeah. if you like hearing anyway, us talk about politics yeah. or the real world, you can sign up for the Betches Sup, which is our 3 times weekly email newsletter that explains the news in a funny way with lots of reality TV references. Go to betches.co/sup signup or follow at betches_sup on Instagram. Again, that's betches.co/sup signup and at betches_sup on Instagram.
And if you think we have no idea what the fuck we're talking about and you want to give us your opinion on, like, any of these, like, huge issues that we just said, please email us at slapped@betches.com.
Yes, slapped@betches.com. And also look out for our Sup Live TV show, which is coming very soon.
Soon.
All right. It's a little teaser.
So, Eileen, I heard that you've been watching a lot of documentaries about, like, toxic food and stuff that's bad
yeah,
for you.
Yeah, I'm like
to
fake
eat.
Vegan right now.
Yeah. No meat, no dairy? How long have
some
has
eggs.
It been?
I haven't eaten grilled chicken in like a month.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm really not into it.
It's big for you. Good for the chickens, bad for you. Or maybe fine for you. I don't
it's
know.
Fine. My skin's getting better.
But speaking of like organic products, have you yeah. heard of Sustain?
I have. I've been seeing that a lot recently. I hear it's like this new alternative like non-toxic, right? Tampons?
Yeah. It's non-toxic.
It's feminine products?
It's tampons, it's pads, it's condoms. They have like a whole lifestyle, like they're like a lifestyle brand basically just about not putting like
bad
toxic stuff inside
yeah.
your body, which is good. I mean, I've never even really thought about before
I
this,
also haven't.
About like what's in my tampon. You like put it in you. It's like kind of weird.
So true. You think about all the other stuff you put in you or
yeah.
people.
And they really want us to know what we're putting inside our bodies and they want to give us good products to put in our vaginas. So go to sustainnatural.com. And if you're a listener, you can get your first month of free products and free shipping when you sign up at sustainnatural.com and use Betches Pod at checkout. That's BETCHESPOD at checkout. That's sustainnatural.com, and they're all natural vagina friendly products that
oh,
put
yeah.
women's bodies first.
Kendra.
Yeah. And you get and even like the best thing is that they give 10% of their profits to women's healthcare organizations.
Oh, that's amazing.
And there's over 20 million women in the US who lack access to reproductive health care. Did you know that?
No, I didn't. And that's messed up.
I know that is messed up. Especially Aileen and my moms are both OBGYNs.
They are.
So we're also committed to women's health care.
That's exactly how we met also. so again, staynatural.com and use Betches Pod at checkout for your first free month and free shipping.
Let's do a Dear Betch.
Dear Betches.
No, I just have a lot of feelings.
I will read it.
Great.
A little lighter.
You're a very good reader.
Thanks. I was in the top reading group in elementary school.
Me too.
Of course
you
were.
Oh my gosh. We love to read.
Dear Betches, I love the podcast and you do literally get me through my boring AF work week. I know you guys said to not send any more bridesmaid questions, but this is a bride question. Sorry, here it goes. I used to be super close to my fiance's brother's ex-girlfriend. They broke up last year, and she and I still keep in touch. Not super close, but she was my main betch throughout their 2-year relationship. Fast forward to us getting engaged, and I mentioned to my fiance's brother that I planned on inviting his ex. He is super dramatic and said that he would literally make a scene if I invited her, and she showed up. What the fuck? I don't think he should have a say on who does and doesn't get an invite, since it's my day, not a bridezilla, just speaking the truth. I also don't want any stupid drama or fighting at the wedding. Do I invite her and just not tell the future brother-in-law until closer to the wedding day, or leave her off the guest list and hope she doesn't get super pissed? Love, betch-in-law or betchy friend. You decide.
I don't know. Like, so stupid.
I thought about this one, actually. Yeah. I think that you should not invite her. I think you should tell her that, like,
yeah.
it's your, I mean, it, I, if someone,
Do you need
I have,
this girl here?
I have 8 siblings. If someone invited, if one of my siblings invited my ex-boyfriend, especially if they didn't tell me, someone, I don't care how close they were while we were dating, if someone invited my ex-boyfriend to, like, yeah. my brother's wedding, I'd be, like, very
so,
annoyed.
Yeah.
Because, like,
and you would never be happy with your brother's wife.
Yeah, you'd be ever, like very upset years. About that. It's like you're not going to even speak to her that much. You can just tell her like, hey, I really wanted to invite you, but I think it's going to be really uncomfortable for everyone. But like, this isn't personal. I just think like it's better if you're not. You can say something to her and like try to ease like the amount that she'd be pissed. But I kind of have to agree with your fiance's brother on this one. Like, it's his brother's wedding. He doesn't want to feel like really weird and uncomfortable. He should just be having like a good time and celebrating your wedding. He doesn't have to. I don't think he's going to want to be like worrying about his ex being there and it being weird and like all that shit.
Wedding drama gives me a massive headache. I have a story to tell you after. Yeah.
Don't make them jealous. They can't hear it.
Sorry, guys. Anyway, I hate wedding drama, but it's like, I feel like friendships are like made and broken on wedding drama.
Based on weddings?
Yeah. According to my mom, she told me she had a fight with her friend around like her friend's wedding and they didn't talk for like years.
What was the fight about?
She like didn't invite like my dad. Like,
she didn't give her plus one.
While they were dating for like 2 years, and we've heard people get mad about possibly not getting a plus one.
Plus ones are a big deal.
Yeah, they are.
We can discuss that another. Well, actually, you know what? Why not discuss it now? What are your thoughts on plus ones?
I think that like if someone's like seriously dating someone, engaged or married, you like should always give that person a plus one.
Okay. I think engaged or married is like sort of a given, no?
Yeah.
But like, what if they've been dating for like, how long do they have to be dating before you can give them a plus one?
I don't think it's about like a number of months. I think it's about a seriousness of the relationship.
Well, who are you to judge?
No, it's like if you like really just started and it's like, you know what I mean? And it's sort of like, you don't like, you know. Like, if someone's been dating for, like, 3 years and they're not engaged yet, but they're, like...
So you're not giving them a plus one because you don't feel the relationship is serious enough for you?
It's just, like, I don't know. I also think it depends on the person's, like, financial situation. Like, if you obviously are, like, having a huge wedding and, like, you're limiting your friends plus one, it also depends how close friends you are with the person. If you're very close with the person getting married, they should give you a plus one if you're, like, a bridesmaid or something. You know?
Even if you're not dating anyone?
No. If you're not dating someone, then like
no plus one for you.
Well, I mean, it depends. Again, it depends on like the financial situation. Like you're scrimping for every person.
Yeah, I've heard of weddings where the person's like, "Hey, like we're not giving camp friends like a plus one."
Right. But is it just camp friends or is it like close friends?
I don't know. I think it's the kind of thing where like you have to give everyone on the same level of dating someone like the same. The same plus one situation. Once you start giving some people plus ones but not others, it gets like a little awkward.
I agree with that, except for like you should be give. I think maybe sometimes like you should give your family members and like bridesmaids the plus one priorities.
Yeah, or at least like your immediate family members.
Yeah, of course. Right. Well, immediate I feel like should be automatic.
I don't know if you have to give all your cousins a plus one.
I don't know. It
depends how close you are.
Yeah.
How many cousins you have.
How many cousins you have.
The plus ones are, let us know if you have a hard rule for plus ones, if you have any sort of thing that you find works well, because.
Yeah, if anyone's like an etiquette master, Luann, get at us.
Yeah.
Let us know.
I would love to, I feel like that's probably an Emily Post.
Oh. Something. Emily Post, please get at us.
Yeah, get at us, email us, let us know what the plus one deal is, and email us at slappedatbetches.com.
Yeah, that's where you can find us.
Do we have time for one more?
Do you want to do the Hugh Hefner one?
Yeah, okay. So
someone emailed us.
Someone emailed us about our thoughts
about Playboy Betches, her sign-off.
I don't think we really need to read the whole thing, but essentially the letter is like wondering what our thoughts on Hugh Hefner were, because I think after he died this past week, there's been a lot of debate over like, is Hugh Hefner, like, a good person to, like, look at as, like, either, like, a role model or, like, a good American or, like, a bad American? Mm-hmm. Or, like, a good person or a bad person? And I think it's an interesting debate because it's, like, some people are, like, oh, he objectified women, and other people are, like, no, he gave them, like, opportunities. And here's my thought on him is, like, he built a business based on, like, a certain kind of lifestyle, right? Just like we did in a lot of ways. Yeah. It's about a certain kind of lifestyle. Not everyone agrees with it. Not everyone, like, thinks the values that are portrayed in it are, like, are their own or accurate or good for society or good for women or good for any one group. And I think, you know what, I think that's fine. I think that, like, you can someone could be build a good business that's like that helps some people and some people really enjoy and gives some people an outlet for like either their sexuality or expression or their feelings. And other people can think that the idea is bullshit and that's okay. And that's sort of like the nature of business. Like not everyone has to love your business for it to be like a legitimate business that helps a lot of people, but also maybe doesn't help a lot of people.
Right. See, like, I don't think that, like, I think it's not about, like, whether he's, like, worthy of glorification or not. It's, like, define him for what he is. He's not, like, an American hero. Like, he didn't save anyone's life. He didn't, like, he didn't cure any diseases. He didn't make any great personal sacrifices to help someone else. But what he did do is he created a business that is, like, and if we want to talk about American culture again, like, very iconic in American culture. So, like, there's a lot to say for that. And, like, to glorify him, like, he's not Mother Teresa, although I hear she, like, runs her orphanages really badly. But whatever, we'll,
we'll
say
get
Mother
to that later.
We'll say Mother Teresa for the sake of the comparison. He's not Mother Teresa, but, like, is he a good, successful businessman? Yeah, I would put him more in the category of, like, a Steve Jobs. You know, like,
who's, were like, some women, like, maybe hurt in his business quest, perhaps. But again, like, no one's, like, any woman who worked for him, like, chose to.
Also, no business in America is made, like, without hurting anyone. Like, and, like, John Rockefeller, like, they, like, the, like, all the people, like, the captains of industry from the 20s. Yeah, they benefited from, like, very cheap labor and many people's deaths, I'm sure. You know, like, but yeah, would anyone say that they're not, like, worthy of glorification and great businessmen and great Americans, like, in a sense? Yeah, everyone would say that. But, like, again, are they, like, Gandhi? No, you know?
Right.
It's just, like, yeah, you can, like, make a big thing about him, but, like, I don't know.
He lived a certain lifestyle, which, again, not everyone is for, but I think that, like, it doesn't matter. It's, like, that's not what, just because you don't agree, I think, with, like, the kind of, like, lifestyle that he lived or, like, the sexual aspect of what he's done or, like, maybe, like, the way some women were treated who, again, voluntarily decided to work for him or with him.
Right. You can say, sorry, I'm trying to get my dog out of Jordana's bag. Right. You can say that he was very, like, I don't know, you can have the opinion that Playboy is, like, made society worse or hurt people or whatever, and you can maybe be right in that. Like,
but you can also have the
that's
opinion,
a valid view.
You can also have the opinion that Playboy has helped a lot of people, maybe like discover sexuality or like have an outlet for some sort of like sexual urges. I mean, like we're like women who are, I assume, not subscribed
to
Playboy.
I've never read Playboy. I've never looked at, like, I don't really know.
Right, neither have I, but I know that, like, a lot of men, I mean, that's just, like, not, we're, like, we're...
We just wouldn't.
We're just not the really, like, the demographic that Playboy appeals to.
Even.
Or even, like, right, or the generation we grew up with the internet. So, like, Playboy, like, which isn't really even, like, that particularly nude, like, was not, like, our outlet. But I think a lot of men have, like, very specific memories of, like, a sexual enlightenment or, like, a... you know, a way to, like, express themselves sexually or read or look at pictures. And, like, that's fine. I don't care.
Yeah.
So in that way, it's kind of cool.
Right. I think that's not really, like, no one argues that that's a problem. But people do say, like...
I think it's, like, you're glorifying a certain kind of look that women have. And if they don't have that look, then, like, they're not heteronormatively, like, good-looking.
Attractive.
And you know what? Again, he's not, like, saying every person in America should be reading Playboy. It's, like, if you like that kind of look and you're interested in that kind of, like, sexual experience, then, like, then good for you.
Right. I also
there's an outlet
it's
for
like,
that.
I think it's sort of, I don't know if Playboy, like, goes into this category, but there's that whole, like, there's the debate around, like, porn and prostitution, like, porn stars who subject, like, who are agreeing to, like, be in porn, and then some of them think it's very empowering, but, like, is the porn industry, like, good for people? Like, I don't know. Like,
I think in terms of, like, porn and prostitution, like, prostitution is the oldest job in history.
Right.
Like, prostitution has existed for as long as time
because
has existed.
Because sex is the primal thing, and, like, so obviously it's going to become, like, a transactional thing.
Right.
Or
and
it
I think
could be not, but it
obviously
it
there's
is.
Abuses that go on in that, as there are in many industries, probably some more in prostitution. But I think that, like, if done a certain way, maybe it's not that...
I just think, like, that bad. But then you have people who become, like, porn addicts and, like, or people who, like, people do who very become, disgusting things
yeah, you have also,
sexually as a result of what they've seen in porn. I'm not saying that,
you also
like,
have people who become alcoholics as a result of buying
right,
alcohol.
Right, which is what I was about to say about the next thing is that, like, it's sort of, like, not about, like, porn always bad or always good. It's like more about like people and their relationships with these
much
things.
Like to bring this full circle guns.
Yeah.
Or much like anything, there is nothing that's right. Like purely good or purely
yeah,
bad.
It's how you use it and how you or if you abuse it, you know. It's like yeah, exactly. So to
yeah,
say
do I think the porn industry should be regulated much like the gun industry?
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do I think that like prostitution and porn should be like entirely illegal from like all aspects of society? Like no.
Right. Okay.
So, great. So everything in moderation is the yeah. theme for today's podcast.
Moderate amount of government regulation and like moderate amount of just like everything. Should we play like a game or two?
Yeah, these amazing games come to us this week courtesy of, I think her name is Anastasia, and Stasia is like her nickname. I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing that wrong. She says, you ladies are awesome, and I've been a loyal fan since the very beginning, and I'm pumped for the Halloween brunch in Chicago.
Yay!
Speaking of which,
we are having a Halloween costume comedy brunch in all across America, actually, in 7 different cities on October 28th, which is the Saturday of Halloween weekend. Basically, it's a stand-up comedy show with a boozy brunch, and it's really fun. You should go to betches.com/comedy-tour. To get tickets. There's also a pop-up on betches.com, which will take you right to it. Also,
it's going to be really funny. It's great.
Yeah, it's very funny. So it's in New York, Philly, Boston, LA, Arlington, aka DC, Nashville, and Chicago. So
yeah,
we hope
go
to see you there.
In your city.
Betches.com/comedy-tour.
Yes.
Imagine if that's not really the link. I think it is.
You'll find it.
You'll find
it. You really want to go, you'll find it.
Yeah.
It's our marketing tactic.
Make everything so easy for the audience. One click.
Exactly. Okay, would you rather be Kim or Kylie's baby?
Kim.
I agree. Kim,
sure.
I think, maybe not Kim. I think maybe not Kim's baby when she was Kylie's age, but Kim's baby
maybe
like
now.
Because
yeah.
I think Kim is like, I don't think she's like she's necessarily a good mother, but I think she's like learned some shit.
Yeah, and I think she's like she thinks straight. I'll say that. You know?
Yeah.
She's like very controlled. She's very, I don't know, maybe I don't know anything about Kim Kardashian because her entire image to me is just built by PR. So I don't really know.
We don't really know.
But I think Kim. My intuition tells me
Kim doesn't drink. I like a mom who doesn't drink.
Yeah, agreed. Good. Yeah, I also agree with that. I'm sure Kylie doesn't drink, but also the reason I would pick Kim is because she became famous when she was older, meaning her brain had more time to develop as a regular person, or semi-regular person.
Good point.
So I think that is...
Not that she's like, I don't really want either of them as my mother. But if I had to pick,
right.
I would definitely
Kylie got famous too early in her life for her brain to stay, like, remotely sane. Okay, cool. Next.
Would you rather have to work every single day for the rest of your life or never work another day in your life?
What kind of question is that?
Of course, never work another day in your life.
Yeah. We are working from home this week while we wait for our new office to be done and, like, all the furniture to come. So you guys should wait around on Instagram for the day that we start and, like, you know, blast it out. And
just keep refreshing for
home.
The next week.
Yeah, we've been working from home. And it's just the great... We were just talking about how it's so great. You have so much control over your life. And, like, you don't waste any time because you're not, like, you know...
It's going to be
wasting
amazing.
Time. Okay.
All right. What are your thoughts on girls who talk like they're engaged, plan the wedding before they even propose to? I feel like this is an epidemic lately with girls I know. I would love to hear your thoughts on this.
I don't know. I think they should just, like, stop talking about it. I think it's also about, like, knowing your audience. Like, if you are, like, super pumped to, like, get engaged and, like, so is your, like, and your friend is, like, into that and wants to hear you talk about that because she, like, loves thenot.com and, like, her entire explore page is wedding dresses, then, yeah, and you should talk to that friend about it. But if you're talking to friends who, like, literally want nothing to do with this conversation, then, like, just keep your mouth shut.
That's a good piece of advice. Know your audience. Not everyone wants to hear about this shit.
But
also,
some people do.
I think it's
really
a little,
do want to hear about it.
I think it's a little weird to plan shit before you're proposed to. I think it's a little jumping the gun.
I've heard of people reserving venues.
I've heard of that too. Like in Friends, when Monica does that. And then like Chandler picks up the phone, like here's... Right. Like, the message from, like, the person that's reserving the thing. I don't know. I could see, like, getting ahead of yourself, getting excited. This sounds very, very, like, emotionally masturbating to me, where you're, like, kind
is
of, like...
Is it? No. Because the guy likes you. He's going to propose.
I mean, it depends. Maybe he's not.
Do you think in these situations...
I think sometimes he doesn't. That's, like, a... It's a thing that happens where you think it's going to happen, you don't. I would just live in the now. I wouldn't, like, plan your wedding before you were, like...
Yeah.
Be mindful. It kind of, I think it's kind of a sign that you just can't, like, be in the moment. So, yeah.
You're waiting for the next thing. And can I tell you, if you're waiting for the next thing now, you're always going to be waiting for the next thing your whole life. So once you get married, you're going to be like, oh my God, what's next? What do I do now? Do
right,
I
like do planning I have a baby? For your a non-existent baby.
Planning for your baby. Right. And then you're going to be planning for your baby to get into preschool and private school and college. And you're just never going to be satisfied. And you're going to live a life of chronically being dissatisfied.
So you've changed your thoughts on this?
No, I'm saying, like, know your audience if you're going to do it, but you probably just shouldn't.
Yeah, I think it's important to live in the moment and not just constantly be looking at the next step in life and enjoy where you're at, because, like, if you're in a good relationship, that's probably going well. And when you get proposed to, then you can start planning the
right, also, the when you get proposed to, like, try to be in the moment then, not, like, waiting for, like...
To Instagram your picture.
Yeah,
or
exactly.
All that
that's,
other
like,
shit.
Right, right. Yeah. It's not just... It's never just about, like, the moment and the nice milestone in your relationship. It's right. About, like... Where, how many likes will I get? Will everyone be as happy for me as I want them to be? Like,
or as jealous?
Yeah, or as jealous. Where will our engagement party have clear, yeah, crisp photos? And will my engagement ring be bigger than everyone else's?
I think, yeah, social media really loses our ability to, like, just live and see things and be there and not, like, look at things through our phones or, like, measure, like, their moments based on that. So,
which is another thing that should be used in moderation, which is not always good or always
like
bad.
Just like everything.
Just like guns and porn.
I've heard everything in moderation, moderation in moderation.
Oh, so, like, you should be extreme? I don't know. What
every now and then, it's okay to be extreme.
Right, but if it's only every now and then you're still moderate.
That's true.
Okay.
Moderation.
This has been a very, very...
meta conversation. All right, guys. Yeah. We'll see you next week.
Email us if you need anything. Betches.
Betches.com. Not anything. Just, like, you know, commentary. We're not going to walk your dog for you.
I mean, you can email us that, but we'll ignore it.
Yeah. Okay. Bye.
Bye.